the Senate on a quorum?
Will the Senate come to order? There is a quorum.
There's 19 members present this morning, Mr. President.
Please stand for the invocation by today's chaplain, Senator Sturgalewski.
As the end of the session coincides with the opening of the fishing season, dear Lord, the bounty of the sea has been a source of nourishment since the first inhabitants came to this great land. Today we ask your special blessing for all those who make their living from the sea. We ask you to watch over your fishers of the sea and guide them safely to port when the catch is in. The great food resource of the ocean provides a livelihood for thousands of Alaskan fishermen, whether a small boat open fisheries in the coastal waters or the distant ocean-going trawlers in the North Pacific. These harvesters have seen the glory of your power in the raging winter storm and the black of night. They've seen the beauty of creation through the mirror calm of a quiet sea on a bright summer day. We call upon you today to ask for a special measure of your protective grace for all those who harvest your gifts from the sea. Amen.
Will Senator Rohde please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance this morning?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Senator Eliason.
Ask NAM's consent that the prayer be spread in the journal.
Without objection, the prayer is spread in the journal. Will the Secretary please certify the journal?
I wish to certify as to the practice of the journals for the 118th and 19th legislative days.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move ask NAM's consent that the journal for the 118th and 119th legislative days be approved and certified.
Just a remark, our secretaries were here until 4 a.m. this morning, finishing up the journal for the 119th day. Without objection, the journals will be approved and certified. Introduction of guests. Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. We have in the Zedra Gallery this morning some visitors out of Salt Lake City. I'd like for you to help me welcome them, if they please stand when I call their name. It's Katie Dixon from Salt Lake County. She's a Salt Lake County recorder in Salt Lake City. Michael Dixon, who is an attorney at law. And I think it's Valora Treshown from Salt Lake City. She's administrative assistant to Mrs. Dixon. Ms. Dixon's son serves in the Utah Assembly, our legislature. Please help me welcome them to the Senate.
Further introductions, messages from the governor.
There are no messages this morning, Mr. President.
Messages from the House. Senator Rohde.
Could we have an introduction of guests?
Without objection, Senator
Mr.
Rohde.
Mr. President, we're fortunate today to have a constituent of mine as a guest page and the son of someone that we all know, Harvey Sullivan. It's my pleasure to present our guest page today, Patrick Sullivan. Welcome, Patrick.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, in the far gallery is almost hidden by the petition there is an old friend of mine, well-known Anchorage businessman and the vice president of Siri Corporation, Mr. Carl Morris. Carl.
Further introductions, messages from the House.
Message in May 6th, Mr. President, the House has passed CS, Senate Bill 15, Finance Amended, an act including public employees in the Public Employment Relations Act as a Class A3 employees entitled to a right to strike effective date with the following amendment. House CS for CS, Senate Bill number 15, Rules, an act including for 2 years public school employees in the Public Employment Relations Act as Class A3 employees entitled to a right to strike, requiring advisory arbitration before public school employees exercise the right to strike effective date and returning for consideration.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move that the Senate concur with the House amendments to Senate Bill 15.
Senator Rohde, perhaps you should call the Senate.
I call the Senate.
Here's a call to the Senate. Senate stand adjourned. Back to order. Senate will please come back to order. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I believe the call is satisfied. Therefore, I replace my motion for the Senate to concur with the House amendments to Senate Bill 15.
There is objection. The question being, shall the Senate concur in House amendments, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 15 rules? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so the Senate concurs in House amendments, thus adopting House Committee Substitute to Committee Substitute to Senate Bill 15 rules by a vote of 16 yeas to 4 nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I give notice of my intent to reconsider Senate Bill 15.
Notice is given. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent that my reconsideration of Senate Bill 15 be taken up at this time.
Is there discussion? The question being, shall the Senate concur in House amendments to House Committee Substitute to Committee Substitute to Senate Bill 15 rules? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so the Senate concurs in House amendments, thus adopting House Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 15 rules. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent that the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
The vote being 16 to 4 on the bill, the effective date clause is adopted. What is that? Yes.
Message dated May 6th. Dear Mr. President, the House has failed to concur in the Senate amendment to CS for HB 220 Finance, and thus failing to adopt Senate CS for House Number 220 Finance relating to motor fuels, petroleum, and chemical storage tanks. The House respectfully requests the Senate to receive from its amendment. In the event the Senate fails to recede, the Speaker has appointed the following members to serve on a conference committee to meet with a like committee from the Senate: Representative Menard, Chair, Representative Navarre, and Representative Sharp.
Senator Frank.
Can we have a brief at ease, please?
Senator will stand at ease. First, Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I would move that the Senate concur with the House amendments to Senate Bill 2, or to House Bill 220. My error, Mr. President. I would move that the Senate receive from its amendments to House Bill 220, request the body to vote no.
The question being, shall the Senate recede from its amendments to Senate Committee Substitute to Committee Substitute to House Bill 220 Finance? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so the Senate does not recede from its amendments to House Bill 220 by a vote of 19 nays and no yeas. I will appoint at this time a committee chaired by Senator Binkley, including Senator Frank and Pierce, to meet with a like member of the House. Senator Porcheau.
Could we, I move and ask unanimous consent that we briefly move to unfinished business.
Not objection, Senator Porcheau.
Thank you, Mr. President. In my zeal to get a bill passed, I neglected to be a co-sponsor of the bill, and it's currently just about ready to leave the other body. I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to co-sponsor Senate Bill 206 dealing with interstate telephone competition.
I don't think you can co-sponsor if it's in the other body, Senator. It has to be in our, the possession of this body. What, Nancy? Okay. If we receive that bill back in our possession, without objection, Senator Porcheau will be shown as co-sponsor. Senator Lyson. Senator Stanides. Unfinished business. Madam Secretary.
Message dated May 7th. Dear Mr. President, the House has passed and transmitted for consideration CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 16S by the Health, Education, Social Services Committee, supporting the establishment of a program leading to a Master of Social Work degree at the University of Washington.
Rules Committee.
Both are all the messages from the House this morning, Mr. President.
Communications.
There are no communications.
Reports of standing committees.
Finance Committee considered Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution Number 56, Resources Amended, Global Climate Change, and Majority Committee Recommends to Pass. Report was signed by Senators Binkley, Nguyen, co-chairs, concurring Senators Duncan, Jara, Senators Frank and Pierce, by no recommendation, previous or fiscal note. CS for HCR 56 Resources AM has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill Number 141, Finance, Tobacco, and Products Containing Tobacco, recommends to be replaced with the Senate CS Finance and reports it back without recommendation. Report was signed by Senator Ewing and Chair, concurring Senators Duncan, Frank, Pearson, Fisher, Senators Binkley and Jarve, signed due pass, fiscal unattached. CS for House Bill Number 141 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill Number 402, State Affairs, Center for Information Technology at the University of Alaska, Anchorage, recommends a due task. Report was signed by Senators Binkley, Ewing, Co-Chairs, concurrence of Duncan, Jaroff, and Pierce. Zero fiscal note. CS for House Bill number 402 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Finance Committee considered CS for House Bill 580, Finance Amendment, Investment of State Funds. Recommends it be replaced with the Finance SCS. Reports are back as follows. Senators Binkley, Co-Chair, and Duncan and Pierce signed due pass. Senator Ewing, Co-Chair, Fisher, and Jaroff signed no recommendation. Senator Frank signed pass State Affairs CS. Fiscal note attached. CS for House Bill number 580 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
Rules Committee considered House concurrent resolution number 46 amended. Recommends be placed in the calendar to pass. Report was signed by Senator Sturzewski, Chair, concurring Senators Rudy, Kelly, and Lyason. CS for HCR 28 Finance, CS for House Bill 587 LNC, HB 575, CS for House Bill number 571 Hess, CS for House Bill number 493 LNC, CS for HB 429 Jude, CS for HB 315 Jude M, CS for HB 244 Finance, CS for HB 146 Finance amended, CS for House Bill 75 Jude, CS for HB 58 Jude, CS for HB 55 Jude recommends they be calendar. The reports were signed by Senator Sturzewski, Chair, concurring. Senators Curtula, Rodian, Lyson, these resolutions and bills appear on the new calendar today, and those are all the standing committee reports, Mr. President.
Reports to special committees.
Message dated May 7th. It was received at 10:45 this morning. The conference committee with limited powers of pre-conference considering CS for House Bill 387 Resources AM. And Senate CS for House Bill number 387 reaches AMS relating to controlled livestock district recommends that conference CS for House Bill 387, same title, be adopted. Report was signed by Senator Swackhammer, Chair, concurring Senators Foster and Taylor, Senator Fakes, Chair, Senators Fisher and Jaroff. Just let it
sit. No, we want to dispose of that. Senator Rudy.
I presume we are on House Bill 387. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mr. President, I would move that the Senate concur with the conference committee report to House Bill 387.
Senator Fakes.
Yes, sir. What we did on the Senate floor is we added a tort amendment to relieve horse people, horse owners, and show rodeo people from tort liability in the proceeding on in those recreational activities. The two sets of lawyers said that it wasn't appropriately fit under the title, so rather than try to work something out or try to finagle a tort that would work under the title, they didn't think that was possible. We just went ahead and deleted it, and this is the House bill as it came over to us. I would recommend passage by this body.
Is there any discussion? The question being, shall the conference committee report be adopted on committee substitute for House Bill 387? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. The Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? The Secretary will record the vote. Well, the conference committee report for House Bill 387 is passed by a vote of 15 yeas and 3 nays.
Those are all the reports of special committee this morning, Mr. President.
Introduction of Senate resolutions.
Senate concurrent resolution number 59. Suspending Uniform Rules 41B, 24C, and 35 of the Alaska State Legislature concerning House Bill 124 relating to the sale of merchandise by the Department of Fish and Game licenses, and involuntary transfer entry permits.
Rules Committee.
Those are all the resolutions.
Introduction of Senate bills.
There are no Senate bills this morning, Mr. President.
Item brings us down to consideration of the calendar. We're going to finish the second supplemental calendar today and then go on to the normal calendar. Senator Sturzewski.
Mr. President, just a correction. That's the first supplemental calendar. We
first
finished
supplemental
the
calendar of yesterday.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 53, Judiciary Amended, an act related to the privilege to drive, driver licensing, driving while intoxicated, and other procedures and matters related to driving and operating aircraft and watercraft, and the revocation of driving privileges and amending Alaska Rules of Appellate Procedure 603 and 611D, and providing for an effective date. Transportation Committee considers the bill. Majority Committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Jones, Chair, concurring. Senators Pichot, Fisher, and Carkill. Judiciary Committee considers the bill and recommends it be replaced with Judiciary Senate CS and due pass. Report was signed by Senator Fakes, Chair, concurring. Senators Zemanski, Halford, Rodian, Pierce. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Stichelowski, Chair, concurring Senators Rowan Elias and Senator Petula, final recommendation. There's a Judiciary SCS.
Senator Fakes.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 53. Before I ask unanimous consent, the one change we made in Senate Judiciary is on page 11. Page 11, lines 1 through 17. This was requested by Representative Ulmer. She considers it a technical amendment. It concerns an offender's ability to petition the court for a limited license after a certain period of license revocation. Without this amendment, there's a drastic difference between those convicted before and after the bill's effective date. And I would ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Judiciary CS.
Without objection, the Judiciary Committee substitute is adopted.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 53, Judiciary, an act relating to the privilege to drive, driver licensing, driving while intoxicated, and other procedures and matters related to driving and operating aircraft and watercraft, and the revocation of driving privileges, amending the Alaska Rules of Appellate Procedure 603 and 611, and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
Unanimous consent that House Bill 53 be considered in gross advance third reading, place for final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 53 is in third reading.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 53, Judiciary, an act relating to the privilege to drive, driver licensing, driving while intoxicated, and other procedures and matters related to driving and operating aircraft and watercraft, and the revocation of driving privileges, amending Alaska Rules of Appellate Procedure 603 and 611D, and providing for an effective date.
Senator Couture.
What are the extra imposed penalties? My breakdown and my backup, of course, like everything when you have midnight sessions, is lost, and that antagonizes me. But the point is that my memory is you impose some new substantial penalties on people that maybe it's the wrong bill. May as well find out what they are.
Senator Fakes.
Yes, sir. I can go over that. There are a dozen new penalties, and it might just be easier, if I may, if we have a brief at ease, and I'll have this copy for every member of the Senate. It is a chart showing each level of offense between the new law and this law. I mean, the old law, existing law, and this law. And it may be helpful for every member of the Senate to have that. It should be in your packet, maybe. If it's not, Senator Cogdill saying that it's in Representative Ulmer's packet. Let's just double-check. And that will answer all the Senator's questions. It is. And here, it's in Representative Ulmer's packet, about the third or fourth page back. It's a complete chart. And I will hand it to the Senator.
I think we can stand at ease and won't look at this and save time. This is law. We're making law here, and we're making penalty law.
Senator Rohde, would you call the Senate, please?
Mr. President, I call the Senate.
Senate, stand at ease. We were under a call of the Senate. One of our members slipped out. I've notified the Sergeant of Arms, no more Mr. Nice Guy.
No more Nice Guy.
Discussion on House Bill 53. Without further discussion, the question being, shall Senate Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill 53 Judiciary pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 53 Judiciary passes the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and no nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent to vote on the bill being considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
Committee Substitute for House Bill number 171 Finance for the Finance Committee. An act related to eligibility.
Senator Duncan.
I believe there are court rules on 53 also.
Senator Rohde, just a motion.
My error. I would move and ask unanimous consent to the vote on the bill because of the vote on the court rules as well as the effective date.
Without objection. Madam Secretary.
CS for House Bill number 171, Finance for the Finance Committee, an act relating to eligibility requirements for and assistance granted under the program of aid to families with dependent children, establishing training and education program to expand employment opportunities for persons who receive aid to families with dependent children, repealing the work incentive program, establishing a pilot project relating to an alternative education program designed to meet the needs of persons of school age who are pregnant or a parent's effective date. HES Committee considers the bill and recommends it be replaced with the SCS HES and be passed. The report was signed by Senator Fisher, Chair, concurring Senators Jones and Duncan. Senator Adams signed the recommendation. Fiscal note. Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends the Hess CS be adopted and do pass. The report was signed by Senator Zulin, Chair, and Binkley, Co-Chair, concurring Senators Pierce and Jaroff, zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Strzelczewski, Chair, concurring Senators Rohde and Kelly. There is a Hess CS.
Order. Senator, will please come back to order. Senator Fisher.
The Hess Committee substitute for Committee substitute for House Bill number 171.
Without objection, the Hess Committee substitute is adopted.
Senate CS for House Bill 171 Hess by the Hess Committee, an act related eligibility requirements for an assistance grant under the program of aid to families with dependent children, establishing a training education program to expand employment opportunities for persons who receive aid to families with dependent children, repealing the work incentive program, establishing a pilot project related to an alternative education program designed to meet the needs of persons of school age who are pregnant or are parents, and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
I have no.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, move the House unanimous consent that House Bill 171 be considered to gross advance to reading its final passage.
Without objection, House.
Are we under
recall? No, we're not, Senator. Without objection, Senate House Bill 171 is in third reading.
Senate CS for House Bill number 171 Hess, an act related to eligibility requirements for an assistance grant under the program of aid to families with dependent children, establishing a training and education program to expand employment opportunities for persons who receive aid to families with dependent children, repealing the work incentive program, establishing a pilot project related to an alternative education program designed to meet the needs of persons of school age who are pregnant or parents, providing for an effective date.
Discussion, Senator Yearling.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senator Pierce from Spinard and myself had worked on the Interim Committee on the Welfare Reform and Family Support Task Force. This is one of the, if my understanding, the only piece of legislation that we need for this year so that we are in compliance with the Federal Family Support Act of 1988. And essentially, I think also that the Senator from Kenai on the Hess Committee did a good job as far as the bill when it came over to us. The bill that's before us on the fiscal note was reduced on the House side. Originally, they were asking for $3.7 million. It was reduced to $750,000. The funding in this fiscal note is for adult basic education at $500,000 and the parenting education programs at $250,000. HB 171 establishes two federally mandated public assistance programs called the Job Opportunity and Basic Skills Jobs Program and the Unemployed Parent UP program. The purpose of the jobs program is to assist AFDC, aid to family with dependent children clients, to get jobs and leave welfare. The purpose of the UP program is to allow two-parent families in which the primary wage earner is employed to then be eligible for AFDC. Alaska's new public assistance program will be called PRIDE, People Reaching Independence and Dignity Through Employment.
Further discussion, Senator Halford.
Good. Do we have a fiscal note anywhere in the packet? I can't find one in the packet that I've got. This is part of yesterday's calendar, but I haven't been able to find the fiscal note.
Senator Yearling.
Senate Finance passed out a zero fiscal.
Senator Eliason.
One question regarding the title. It says we're repealing the work incentive program. That sort of... Could you tell us why we're repealing a work incentive program?
Senator Yearling.
Was one, but I can check that for you.
Senator Halford.
Well, Mr. President, we're adding all of these things for nothing. I mean, what is the fiscal package that's going to accomplish this?
Senator Pierce.
If the senator will remember when we had the budget on the floor, CNRA budget subcommittee and the full finance committee and the full Senate went over our target on the CNRA budget. A portion of that was because we did accept the state general fund matching grant that will match the federal funds for this program. There was also some money in the Hess budget for this program. This is the authorizing legislation.
Senator Halford.
Well, I assume that there is nowhere any fiscal note that says what this costs for the next 5 years or any of the database that's required under AS 2408035.
Senator Jones?
Do you have a brief of these?
Senator Rohde, would you call the Senate, please?
Mr. President, I call the Senate.
Senator, stand at ease.
We're under discussion in third reading on House Bill 171. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I support this legislation. It came from the House with a $750,000 fiscal note. Apparently, that's included in the budget, but the legislation does not follow the law. The law requires a statement of actual fiscal impact. There is before us a zero fiscal note, which is not correct in anyone's mind in terms of what it costs to do this. It's worth doing. It's the right thing to do, but this is the kind of violation that should not occur. There's no reason for it. We should have an accurate fiscal note on this floor.
Further discussion. Senator Pierce.
Can we have a brief at ease? There's apparently a Hess letter of intent, and I don't know whether
there is a call on the Senate. Senate stand at ease.
Or not.
Without objection, the letter of intent is adopted. Further discussion. Senator Curtula.
I choose to support the program. I just want to say that the pilot project, I think, could go into a full-blown project about 15, 18 years ago during the Reagan administration in California. There was an 11-county project there that initiated this nationally, and they were trying to break the chain of welfare with giving a chance for people to have an opportunity in their lifetime to not only work, but also to do something of value for themselves and others. And that pilot project exists, the materials office exists, and it's a very good program, and this is really just to follow up on that original program.
Further discussion. Question being, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 171 Hess pass to Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 171 Hess pass to the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and no nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, do the consent to vote on the bill being sure the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Madam Secretary.
Committee Substitute for House Bill 300, Judiciary, amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to acquisition and ownership of capital stock of a public utility by a public subdivision relating to certain property records maintained by public utilities and including the consumers of a public utility that has an annual compensation in excess of $50,000, the definition of public for public utility regulation. The Committee Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced to the Senate CS and do pass. Report was signed by Senator Show Chair. Excuse me, Senator Zemanski, Chairman, concurring, Senators Pershaw and Frank. Senator Adams and Pierce signed no recommendations, zero fiscal note. Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with LNC, Senate CS, and do pass. Report was signed by Senator Lyson, Chair. Concurring, Senators Fakes and Rohde, Senator Zemanski signed no Senator Coghill signed no recommendation. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Strzelski, Chair. Concurring, Senators Rohde and Kelly. There are two Senate CS.
Senator Lyons.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that the committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 300, Labor and Commerce, be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Labor and Commerce Committee substitute is adopted.
Senate CS for CS for House Number 300, Labor and Commerce, the same title as the original bill.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
I thought there was an amendment. There is an amendment.
Sir, I wish to withdraw that amendment. It's an amendment by Fakes, and I wish to withdraw.
So there is no amendment. Senator Rohde. Without objection, House Bill 300 is in third reading.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill Number 300 LNC, enacting the acquisition and ownership of capital stock of a public utility by a political subdivision relating to certain property records maintained by public utilities and including the consumers of a public utility that has an annual compensation in excess of $50,000, the definition of public for public utility regulation, and providing for an effective date.
Any discussion? Senator Frank.
Can I have an explanation of what the effects of this bill are on the power sales
up on the North Slope?
Senator Lyons.
Mr. President, I think there's a summary of what the bill does on your desk. It's the latest version. The reason we replaced the other version is the fact that the bottom line had dropped out of the explanation. What is happening on the North Slope is that there are facilities up there who are producing their own power, and they have excess power, and they are selling that excess power. And it's my understanding that they're also going to install additional energy, which they're also going to sell, which creates a problem with those utilities who are regulated. So what we're trying to do here is say, in effect, that if you have additional power and you're selling it now, fine. Or if you want to expand the power you're selling now to sell to other groups who are generating their own power, that's fine. However, if the other groups you're selling to has either been a member or is hooked up to a regulated utility, you can't do that. I recognize, Mr. President, there are problems. You just can't sort of fix it. But I think this is probably as close as we're going to get to a reasonable approach. I think probably this issue will be addressed again next year. I don't think anything's going to happen. At the present time, it's sort of a situation where you just can't please everyone. My interest in the bill, of course, which is the first section which deals with the utilities in Yakutat. And I would urge you, we pass the bill, and I suspect that we will be revisiting this issue in the near future to try to level out what has happened here. But I think everything's going to be all right this year.
Senator Curtula.
There are always problems creating a monopoly in a free market, free enterprise system. Of course, public service commissions do this, allow you to return a rate of investment return rather than, and they control that. Because you have a monopoly, but they also allow for the economics of size. The exceptions to the rule probably occur in many places in the state of Alaska, and we're trying with a little good sense to allow for them and yet not impact those areas in which the default principle has come to rest.
Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, we went through this bill quite extensively in the Labor and Commerce Committee. We know that there's a problem out there, and particularly a problem on the slope, where there is a certificate of convenience for public utilities on the slope at the present time. We all know that they cluster into you might say not residential areas, but it's all up on the slope. It's all large shops, large hotels, or that sort of thing. And one of the problems that we surfaced with was the problem that a party is trying to put together a new hotel or a new complex that they bought from the Endicott field, and they're bringing it into the middle of the community at Prudhoe Bay, and that if those people under our bill, we say electric utilities services that they're providing for today, but when he brings the camp into the Prudhoe Bay area, and then he wants to utilize a new system of producing electricity with natural gas, and to be able to hook up his adjoining businesses around where he's putting the motel, we're not reaching that under this. If you'll notice that we're changing on page 2, section 4, and we're adding a whole new structure of what public means. Under the old law, which is where these people that brought this motel or this big complex in did their financing under the basis of what the law was. And now we're changing that structure in the middle of the stream, and he's really got some financial problems, and I think that we're creating a tremendous hardship on him. Now, I was under the impression that we were going to have an amendment that indicated that the utilities, the service area to residential customers, then that would be public. But when it's to just commercial customers, that it would not go out and get onto the general public form. So I think that we should be real careful about making sure that we're not doing an undue hardship to those people that are trying to put together something on the slope. And I would suggest that we take an ease, and I'll see if I can get an amendment put together.
Well, this bill's only been before us 24 hours.
Pardon?
Senator is under a call. Senator, stand at ease. Senator Coghill?
Mr. President, I will not attempt to amend it. I think that we've got some problems here, but I think that it needs to be aired at the level of the Public Utilities Commission.
Further discussion?
Question.
Question being, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 300, Labor and Commerce, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Have all members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary. Senator Fisher? Senator Fakes? Secretary will record the vote. So Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 300, Labor and Commerce, passes the Senate by a vote of 11 yeas and 8 nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause.
Move it. I move the effective date clause.
Question being, shall the effective date clause be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so the effective date clause for House Bill 300 is adopted. Senator Rohde, would you give notice of reconsideration on House Bill 300, please?
Mr. President, I give notice of my intent to reconsider House Bill 300.
Reconsideration is noted. House Bill, next item of business.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 372, Finance, Federal Finance Committee, enacting the Alaska Marine Highway System Vessel Replacement Fund. Transportation Committee considers the bill and recommends it be replaced with Senate CS Transportation. To pass, report was signed by Senator Jones, Chair, concurring Senators Coghill and Kershaw. Senator Fahrenkamp signed no recommendation, zero for small. State Affairs Committee considers the bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Kershaw, Chair, and Senator Kelly signed to pass. Senator Adams signed no recommendation of his amendment. Senator Lynn signed no recommendation. Zero fiscal note. Finance Committee considered the bill. Majority Committee recommends the Transportation Senate CS be adopted and be passed. Report was signed by Senators Binkley and Lynn, co-chairs, concurring Senators Duncan, Craig, Pearson, Fisher. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senators Strzelczyk, Chair, concurring Senators Eliason and Kelly. Senator Petula signed no recommendation to the Transportation Senate CS.
Senator Jones.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that Transportation Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 372 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, the Transportation Substitute is adopted.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 372 Transportation and Act in the Alaska Marine Highway System.
Any discussion? The question being, shall Senate Committee... Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 372 be considered a gross advance reading for its final passage.
Without objection.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 372 Transportation and Act in the Alaska Marine Highway System Vessel Replacement Fund.
Any discussion? Question being, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 372 Transportation pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 372 Transportation passes the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas and 3 nays.
Committee Substitute for House Bill Number 432, Resources by the Resources Committee, an act prohibiting finfish farming and providing for an effective date.
Are there any amendments?
Excuse me, I have to get this in order. Labor and Commerce Committee considers the bill. Majority of the committee recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chair, concurring from Ms. Cockrell, Casillo, and Rohde. Senator Fakes signed no recommendation. Resources Committee considers the bill. And reports to back as follows. Senator Fahrenkamp, Chair, and Senator Strzelczyk signed the recommendation. Senator Eliason, Jaroff, and Kurtula signed due pass. Attached letter of intent. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Strzelczyk, Chair, concurring Senators Kurtula, Rohde, and Eliason.
There is a letter of intent. Okay. Senator Fahrenkamp.
Mr. President, I would move the...
Well, Senator Fahrenkamp, that was my error. Are there any amendments?
I have amendments.
Senator Rohde.
House Bill 432 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading,
place
final passage.
CS for House Bill 432, Resources, an act prohibiting finfish farming and providing for an effective.
Senator Fisher.
Mr. President,
Senator Lassen.
Mr. President, I would call attention to the membership. There's the Senate Resources Committee letter of intent on your desk. And I would hope you have read it. I think it's a good letter of intent, and I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate adopt this Resources Committee letter of intent. I ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Will the Secretary please read the letter of intent?
It is the intent of the legislature to support the concept of upland tank farming of non-salmon species. It is further the intent of the legislature that the Department of Fish and Game work with the Senate and House Resources Committees during the interim to develop environmental siting and brood stock acquisition and develop ownership criteria, including the identification of potential sources of brood stock for the upland tank farming of non-salmon species for incorporation into legislation to authorize upland tank farming of non-salmon species for introduction in the 17th legislature.
Are there any objections to the adoption of the letter of intent? With no objections, the letter of intent is adopted. Brings it to discussion on the bill. Question being, shall committee substitute for Senator Fahrenkamp?
Thank you very much. With the adoption of the letter of intent, it's my hope that all of you who did not object will be very helpful in co-sponsoring the legislation next year.
Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't know what's happening to everyone else's packet, but I've got a packet that only has one version of the bill, no fiscal note, no backup. Is that what we're doing on the floor now?
Senator Lassen.
Mr. President, number one, there's a zero fiscal note. Number two, there's been no changes in the bill. And the committee report pretty well outlines what has happened when it's received on this side.
There is no committee report in the back of here.
We did not have time to do backup yesterday for this calendar, I'm sorry. You have fiscal notes and letters and tents, I hope. I can reread the reports if you'd like.
Will Senator Secretary please reread the report?
Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill. Majority of the committee recommends to pass. Report was signed by Senator Lyason, Chair. Concurring Senators Cockhill, Curtulo, and Rohde. Senator Fake signed no recommendation. Previous House zero fiscal note. Resources Committee considered the bill. Recommends Majority Committee, reports it back as follows. Senator Fahrenkamp from Sturzlewski signed no recommendation. Senators Eliason, Jarre, and Curtulo signed due pass. Attached letter of intent. Rules Committee considered the bill. Recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Sturzlewski, Chair. Concurring Senators Curtulo, Rohde, and Eliason.
Further discussion. Question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 432 Resources pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so committee substitute for House Bill 432 Resources passes the Senate by a vote of 14 yeas and 6 nays. Senator Rohde. Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Senator Fisher.
Can this be cross-sponsored, this bill?
I'd yes, like it can be.
Move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a cross-sponsor.
Without objection, Senator Fisher. Senator Halford. Without objection, Senator Szymanski, Senator Duncan, Senator Binkley, Senator Rohde, Senator Curtulo, Senator Jones, Senator Eliason, Senator Jaroff, Senator Coghill. Senate will stand at ease.
President, I call the Senate.
Here's a call to the Senate. Madam Secretary.
Committee sponsors.
Senator Szymanski.
I'd like to continue to serve notice of reconsideration in the House Bill 372.
Reconsideration is noted, Senator.
I'd like to bring up reconsideration House Bill 372 at this time.
Without objection, we have in front of us. House Bill 372.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill number 372, Transportation, an act related to Alaska Marine Highway System Vessel Replacement Fund, and providing for an, before the Senate on reconsideration.
The question being, she said. Senator Rohde, would you lift your call, please? Senator Rohde, that doesn't make any difference. Senator Rohde's call remains on the Senate. We have in front of us, under reconsideration, House Bill 372, Transportation. Is there further discussion? The question being, shall committee substitute? Senator Halford.
I wonder if somebody could explain to us what the bill actually does.
Senator Porchot.
Thank you, Mr. President. There's no money involved. What it does is set up a funding account for replacement vessels for the ferry system. It's probably a good idea that we should have done 10 or 15 years ago to build in some, the bill is not specific, but in some way through direct appropriations at some time build a vessel replacement fund. We are going to reach the point in not too distant future when we're going to have to start replacing our old vessels on the ferry system, and we have salted no money away for that.
Senator Curtula.
We never salted any money away for University of Alaska roofs. That's about $40-45 million fund program. We haven't salted away any money for replacement of bridges, docks. Let's get in the whole program. I've been more or less in a subdued way screaming about capital projects for a long time or some program to fund capital projects on a sustained basis. And this will then be taken out of the pressure that the rest of us have to replace other equally important transportation programs and irrigation programs and so on. We've come to grips with the whole thing, not just one element of it. I don't have any objection to this. There's two ferries serving the district that I represent. And in any event, I held the first hearings on House Bill 44 when the ferry system came about, so I'm pro-ferry. But I don't think we should take it out of the loop in which there'd be equal pressure on all of us to solve all the other problems of replacement around the state.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think there's some misunderstanding what the bill actually does. It kind of names this fund, but it has to be still appropriated, reappropriated, or appropriated by the legislature. It's not out of the hands of the Finance Committee at all. And unless and if our spending limit comes about, and I think you remember about three times I've tried to get this ferry system outside of that spending limit because they're still going to compete dollar for dollar with schools and everything else. So what it does is really set this, call it this fund, help to give incentive for the marine system to try to operate more efficiently, and yet still has to be appropriated, every cent of it, by the Finance Committee.
Senator Curtula.
We also lost an amendment 10-10 on this floor to provide for an exception to the cap budget, to the spending limit budget for highways and highway construction. These public works projects are going to find themselves caught up in the spending cap very quickly as we reduce the state expenditures to 5% plus per annum. That's including the inflationary rate if the households say at 1% reduction out of state. I tell you, we're in great trouble here, and it's obviously predictable. It takes no crystal ball to see this.
Further discussion? The question being, shall Senator Halford.
Mr. President, I notice this is an account in the general fund, and I understand it's the majority's intent to say that the other account I can think of in the general fund is outside of the statutory spending limit. I wonder if appropriations out of this fund, if it ever gets any money in it, will also be outside of the statutory spending limit, as the appropriations some claim from the Rail Belt Energy Fund are outside of the statutory spending limit.
Further discussion?
Question.
Question being, shall Senate Committee substitute for a committee substitute for House Bill 372 Transportation pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. If all members voted, Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so, Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 372 Transportation passed to the Senate by a vote of 16 yeas and 4 nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I give notice of my intent to reconsider House Bill 432.
Senator Rohde, reconsideration is noted.
I would move to ask the unanimous consent that my reconsideration of House Bill 432 be taken up at this time.
There is objection. Senator Halford.
CS for House Bill 432 Resources, an act prohibiting finfish farming and providing for an effective date before the Senate on reconsideration.
The objection was withdrawn. We now have in front of us House Bill 432 under reconsideration. Further discussion?
Question
being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 432 Resources pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so committee substitute for House Bill 432, Resources, passes the Senate by a vote of 15 yeas and 5 nays. Senator Rohde. Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Senator Fahrenkamp.
A point of information, that does include the letter of intent. Is that not correct?
Senator Rohde, would you move that we rescind in our actions on reconsideration, please?
Mr. President, I move that we rescind our action in adopting House Bill 432.
Without objection, we rescind our action adopting House Bill 432. We are in third reading on House Bill 432. Senator Eliason?
I've been asking unanimous consent that Senate adopt the resources intended letter of intent on House Bill 432.
Without objection, the letter of intent is adopted. Is there further discussion? The question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 432 resources pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so, committee substitute for House Bill 432 resources passes the Senate by a vote of 14 yeas and 6 nays. Senator Rohde. Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. This is probably a pretty good place to have a half-hour lunch period. Are there any committee announcements or unfinished business prior to lunch? Senator Fakes.
Yes, sir. I would very much need to have a Judiciary Committee meeting immediately after session today for the purpose of moving some bills.
Senator Halford.
Mr. President, I would hope that during the time that we have, we can get the rest of the backup to the calendars. I know that we have in the past done some calendars without complete backup, but I think going bill after bill after bill without fiscal notes and without backup is a new policy for this Senate, and it's a new low in terms of the process.
Senate Secretary, are the fiscal notes in the packet?
Yes.
The fiscal notes are put in.
Senator Sturgill.
Check the rest of the calendar to see that we have the information.
Senate will stand at ease until 1:15. Somebody. Senate will please come back to order. We're rapidly reaching that point in the session where we're all tired. We've been here, 16 straight days and several nights. The plan this afternoon is to go through, hopefully rather quickly, the supplemental, then today's calendar, and then adjourn, recess briefly and for a short session this evening. So if we can keep everybody in the room and keep moving forward, we will be making hopefully some progress. Senator Sturgilewski.
Yes, on your desk you will find copies of the Senate Journal. They're all together in one packet that go with the remaining bills that are on the current calendar before you, and I want to thank the Senate Secretary for getting that for us.
Madam Secretary.
CS for SS for House Bill 488, Judiciary, amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act prohibiting the suspending imposition of sentence for a person convicted using a firearm in the commission of a crime or convicted of assault, reckless endangerment, second-degree robbery, extortion, or coercion, and having previously been convicted of a violent crime. Judiciary Committee considers the bill and recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Fakes, Chair, concurring Senator Telford, Zemanski, Rohde, and Pierce. Previous House Fiscal Note. Rules Committee considers the bill recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Sturgilewski, Chair, concurring Senators Rohde, Kirkhill, and Eliason. I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I'm going to present the House Bill 488 in gross advance third reading, place final passage.
That objection, House Bill 488 is in third reading.
CS for sponsor substitute for House Bill number 488, Judiciary amended, an act prohibiting the suspended imposition of sentence for a person convicted of using a firearm in the commission of a crime or convicted of assault, reckless endangerment, second-degree robbery, extortion, or coercion, and having previously been convicted of a violent crime.
Senator Fix.
The bill is literally the title. It adds to the circumstances in which an SIS would also be prohibited to include an offense that involves a firearm and a second offense of crimes against a person, such as assault, reckless endangerment, extortion, coercion, or armed robbery. That's it. It's just adding this particular element to what cannot get that a convicted felon cannot have an SIS for.
Senator Adams.
The question I have is, now the judge can't give a suspended imposition of sentence, is that correct? And so what this will do is continue to overcrowd our present jails?
Senator Fakes.
The judge could not, under this new circumstance, at his discretion, order an SIS. That is correct. But it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to keep more people in jail.
Senator Rudy.
Ms. President, in response to Senator Adams, there are a number of other alternatives that the judge could impose that would not involve jail time. SIS means it's a suspended imposition of sentence, and it would keep it off a person's record, and that was deemed important.
Further discussion. The question being, shall committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 488, Judiciary Amended, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 488, Judiciary Amended, passes the Senate by a vote of 17 yeas and no nays.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 491, Judiciary Amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act creating the Sentencing Commission and providing for an effective date. Judiciary Committee considers the bill and recommends it be replaced with the Judiciary Senate CS and reports it back as follows. Senator Fakes, Chair, and Senator Rohde signed to pass. Senator Halford signed no more money. Fiscal note attached. Finance Committee considers the bill and recommends the Judiciary Senate CS be adopted and reports it back as follows. Senator Brinkley, co-chair, and Senator Frank signed due pass. Senator Ewing, co-chair, and Senator Duncan Sharp and Fisher signed no recommendation, zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Krzyzewski, chair, concurring. Senators Rohde, Krzyzewski, and Eliason. There is a Judiciary SCS.
Senator Fakes.
I would like to move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 491.
Senator Fakes?
Yes, sir. The only difference in the bill is the composition of the commission. If you will look at the House bill as it came over, the majority of the commission members are members of the administration. What we tried to do is put in a group of commissioners that would come from other than administrative appointees, such as two persons are members of a crime victims advocacy or a crime victims association, assistance operation, a person with an understanding of the concerns of Alaska Natives relating to criminal justice system. So what we did is change the composition of the type of people that are going in on this commission. The department had no problems with this and have signed off on this commission, and the commissioner also supports it.
Further discussion. Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Although I think I'm going to support this legislation, I would point out that it adds a total of over $600,000 over the next 3 years, where, you know, going so far beyond our $10 million new legislation that there really isn't much comparison to those numbers. And with that, I would call the Senate, so at least we have the co-chairman of the Finance Committee here.
Senate will standing. There will be a call of the Senate. Senate stand at ease. Order. The call of the Senate has been satisfied. Once again, I'd like to ask the members to stay in place, because virtually every time somebody leaves the chamber, we have a call placed on the body, and you're just slowing down the procedure. We are discussing House Bill 491. Are we in third reading, Madam Secretary?
We are awaiting adoption of the Judiciary Senate CS.
Senator Fakes. Without objection, the Judiciary Committee CS is adopted.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 491, Judiciary, and acting the Sentencing Commission and providing an effective date.
Senator Rohde.
Senate House Bill 491 be considered engrossed, advanced in third reading, and placed for final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 491 is in third reading.
Senate CS for CS for House Bill 491, Judiciary, and acting the Sentencing Commission and providing for an effective date.
Question.
Question being, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 491 Judiciary pass to Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 491 Judiciary passed the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and no nays. Senator Brody.
Mr. President, I'm going to ask unanimous consent to the vote on the bill be considered the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Senator Coghill.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that my reconsideration of Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 195 be taken up at this time.
We have in front of us House Bill 195. Senator Coghill, well, we have to be read across.
Senate CS for House Number 195, Finance MS, relating to forest dissolution and annulment, and amending Rule 84A, Alaska Rules of Civil Procedure.
Question being, shall Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 195, Finance Amended Senate, pass to Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary, record the vote. So Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 195, Finance Amended Senate, passes by a vote of 19 yeas and 1 nay. Senator Ruddy. Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
And court rule changes.
And the court rule changes.
CS for House Bill Number 563, State Affairs Amended. By the State Affairs Committee, calculating the amount of a permit fund dividend to information regarding the value of dividends and to the partial exemption of dividends from remedies for the collection of debt and providing for an effective date. The State Affairs Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with State Affairs CS and do pass. The report was sent by Senator Pichot's chair, concurring Senators Adams and Fakes, attaches a letter of intent and a fiscal note. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends the State Affairs SCS be adopted and do pass. The report was signed by Senators Binkley, New, and co-chairs, concurring Senators Duncan, Fisher, Jarre, Pearson, Frank, fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senators Krzyzewski, chair, concurring Senators Rudy, Kurtula, and Eliason. There's a State Affairs SCS.
Senator Porchot.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that the Senate State Affairs Committee be adopted in lieu of the original House bill.
Without objection, Senate State Affairs Committee is adopted. Was there an objection? Without objection.
Senate CS for House Bill Number 563, State Affairs, enacting the amount of a permit fund dividend to information regarding the value of dividends and to the partial exemption of dividends from remedies for the collection of debt and providing for an effective date. I have an amendment number 1 by Senator Porchot, page 3, line 3.
Senator Porchot.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move and ask unanimous consent that I be allowed to withdraw amendment number 1.
Amendment number 1 is withdrawn.
Amendment number 2 by Senator Porchot, and this amendment, I think, has been distributed.
Senator Porchot.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would move amendment number 2.
There is objection. Senator Porchot.
Mr. President, this bill collided with a Senate bill when it was somewhere between State Affairs and Finance, and we, again, in State Affairs, picked up the House-passed version. There were several differences between those. We attempted to consolidate the versions and incorporating several different concepts relating to the permanent fund dividend and the stub and the accompanying information that several members, both in the House and Senate, had separate bills on. One of the concepts that was left in the bill, in the Senate bill, from the House version appears in the first sentence on Section 4 and has since, upon reflection, has not received support from either the original House maker or at least from myself as in the State Affairs version. What this does is revisit in a separate piece of paper next in this year's permanent fund envelope, along with the check, along with the stub, along with the permanent funds brochure. It also calls for another piece of paper rehashing the whole subject of controversy in this year's dividend on the deductions for various public safety and Department of Corrections programs. I think, Mr. President, at this stage, what we need to do and which seems worthwhile is what's called for in the second sentence. The second sentence merely says that if money is made available through appropriations or the court suit on the constitutionality of those issues is settled, that any monies that make up for the deductions in last year's dividend will be shown on the stub, not another piece of paper, but on the stub, as making up for last year's deduction. In other words, the stub would read, your check includes $3 more this year to make up for deductions made in last year's dividend. I think that's all we need to do to kind of end this saga, and I don't think we want to revisit this, and by the way, and pay for it in another piece of paper. I would ask unanimous consent for the adoption of Amendment Number 2.
Without objection, Amendment Number 2 is adopted.
I have no further amendments.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, we'd ask unanimous consent that House Bill 563 be considered engrossed, passed third reading, and final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 563 is in third reading.
Senate CS proceeds for House Bill Number 563, State Affairs Amended Senate, enacting the amount of a permanent fund dividend to information regarding the value of dividends and to the partial exemption of dividends from remedies for the collection of debt and providing for an effective date. There's a letter of intent.
Senator Porchot.
Mr. President, one of the things that we've all, I think, expressed an interest in doing is trying to get a more complete description of the legislative appropriations and the history of funding that contributes to people's dividends. The letter of intent basically requests that the current practice of the Permafund Board, including its brochure in the dividend check, be continued, and that brochure address some of these other informational questions as to the expenses of the permanent fund and also the history of legislative appropriations. I would move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt the letter of intent to accompany 563 State Affairs.
Without objection, the letter of intent is adopted. Senator Curtula.
President, I think that was a very good idea because we've probably placed half of the permanent fund now out of direct appropriations. Not only that, we've paid $500 million on native land claims. There's a great deal of money that's been expended that hasn't been recognized by the public, that has not been wasted or has not been lost. As a matter of fact, we've acted quite responsibly in these savings programs.
Further, Senator Halford. Senate will stand at ease. Did we adopt the letter of intent, Senator Porchot? We did. The discussion in third reading on the bill. Is there any discussion? Question being, shall Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 563, State Affairs Amended Senate, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 563, State Affairs Amended Senate, passes the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and no nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I'm going to ask unanimous consent to vote on the bill to include the vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Senator Rohde, reconsideration.
Mr. President, I give notice of my intent to reconsider House Bill 563.
Reconsideration is noted. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move to unanimous consent that my reconsideration of House Bill 563 be taken up at this time.
We have in front of us in third reading House Bill 563. Senator Porchot, letter of intent.
Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent that we adopt the letter of intent for 563 State Affairs.
Without objection, letter of intent is adopted. Question being, shall Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 563 State Affairs Amended Senate pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 563, State Affairs Amended Senate, passes by a vote of 20 yeas and no nays. Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I move to ask unanimous consent to vote on the bill to vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted.
House Bill Number 584, amended by the Hess Committee, an act relating to revolving loan fund in the Department of Health and Social Services. Finance Committee considered the bill, and majority of the committee recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Ewing, co-chair, concurrence, and DeJaro, Senator Binkley and Pierce on no recommendation. Zero fiscal note. Rules Committee considered the bill. Recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Strzelecki, Chair, concurring Senators Kelly and Rohde.
Are there any amendments?
I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, move to ask unanimous consent that House Bill 584 be considered engrossed, advanced third reading, such final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 584 is in third reading.
House Bill Number 584 amended and enacting the revolving loan fund in the Department of Health.
Is there any discussion? Question being, shall House Bill 584 amended pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So House Bill 584 amended passes the Senate by a vote of 20 yeas and no nays.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 85 by the Resources Committee relating to the incidental take of stellar sea lions by commercial fisheries. Resources Committee considers the bill, recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Fearnkamp, Chair, concurring Senator Strudlowski, Elias, and Jarov. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Strudlowski, Chair, concurring Senator Jordy, Kirkwood, and Eliason. I have no amendments.
Senator Ruddy.
Mr. President, I move that SJR 85 be considered gross debt third reading for final passage.
Without objection, SJR 85 is in third reading.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 85 relating to the incidental take of stellar sea lions by commercial fisheries.
Question being, shall Senate Joint Resolution 85 pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So Senate Joint Resolution 85 passes the Senate by a vote of 18 yeas and no nays.
Is that reconsidered?
It's not going to go anyway.
House Joint Resolution Number 80 amended.
All right. Senator Rohde, would you call the Senate, please?
I call the Senate, Mr. President.
Senator Stanides. Senator Binkley is down testifying in House Judiciary. He's not upstairs on the fifth floor. Would you lift your call, please?
May I go down with him? I've got a bill there, too. I lift my call, Mr. President.
Call is lifted. Madam Secretary.
House Joint Resolution Number 80 amended by Representatives McLean, Ulmer, Gall, Hoffman, Wallace, Kabina, Brown, Copeland, and Zawacki. Urgent revision of housing requirements of the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development to improve design, construction, and maintenance of homes in rural Alaska. Committee Regional Affairs Committee considered the bill and recommends it be replaced with Senate CS and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Zemanski, Chair, concurring. Senator Pershaw, Frank, and Pierce. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Strudlowski, Chair, concurring. Senators Curtillo, Rohde, and Kelly. There is a CNRA SCS.
Senator Zemanski.
HDR 80 CRNA be adopted.
Without objection, the CRNA committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 80 is adopted.
Senate CS for House Joint Resolution Number 80, CNRA, urging revision of housing requirements of the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development to improve design, construction, and maintenance of homes in rural Alaska.
Senator Rohde. Without objection, HDR 80 is in third reading.
Senate CS for HJR 80, CNRA, urging revision of housing requirements of the United States Department of Housing and Urban Development to improve design, construction, and maintenance of homes in rural Alaska.
Question being, shall Senate Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 80, Community Regional Affairs, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the rolls. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so Senate Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 80 CRNA passes by a vote of 19 yeas and no nays.
House Concurrent Resolution Number 63 amended, suspending Uniform Rules 41B, 24C, and 35 of the Alaska State Legislature concerning Senate Joint Resolution Number 50 relating to the rule adopted by the United States Fish and Wildlife Service relating to sea otters. Rules Committee considers the bill and recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Strudlowski, Chair, concurring Senator Rohde, Curtillo, and Eliason. Zero fiscal note attached.
House Concurrent Resolution 63 amended is in front of us in third reading. Is there any discussion? Senator Fearnkamp. No discussion. Question being, shall House Concurrent Resolution 63 amended pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So House Concurrent Resolution 63 passes by a vote of 19 yeas and no nays. That brings us to today's calendar. I don't have a copy of it.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 55, Judiciary, amended by the Judiciary Committee, relating to the Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission. Judiciary Committee considers the bill, recommends due pass. Report was signed by Senator Fitch, Chair, concurring. Senators Halford, Zemanski, Rohde, and Pierce, previous year fiscal note. Rules Committee considers the bill, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Strudlowski, Chair, concurring. Senators Kutula, Rohde, and Eliason. I have no amendments.
Senator Rohde.
House Bill 55 is in
third reading. Without objection, House Bill 55 is in third reading.
CS for House Bill number 55, Judiciary Amendment and Act relating to Alaska Oil and Gas Conservation Commission.
Question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 55, Judiciary Amendment, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. And so committee substitute for House Bill 55, Judiciary Amendment, passes the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas and no nays.
CS for House Bill number 58, Judiciary, by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to enforcement and penalty provisions of certain laws on fire protection, fireworks, and warning placards and hazardous substances, authorizing the adoption and use of alternate designs for warning placards for hazardous substances, and amending Alaska Rules of Appellate Procedure 603A2 and providing for an effective date.
Any amendments?
Excuse me. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Fakes, Chair, and Senator Halford sign no recommendation. Senator Zemanski signed due pass. Rules Committee considered the bill recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Strzelczyk concurring, Senator Scutula, Rory Eliason, and I have no amendments.
Senator Brody.
This President, move unanimous consent. The House Bill 58 be considered engrossed to advance third reading. That's final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 58 in third reading.
CS for House Bill number 58, Jude, and accolading enforcement and penalty provisions of certain laws on fire protection, fireworks, and warning placards for hazardous substances, authorizing adoption and use of alternate designs for warning placards for hazardous substances, and amending the Alaska Rule of Appellate Procedure 603A2 and providing for an effective date.
Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. I notice on page one, regulations adopted by the Department of Public Safety for the prevention of fire for the protection of life and property against fire or panic. I wonder if there's any place in the statute that panic is defined.
Further discussion. The question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 58, Judiciary, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote, and so committee substitute for House Bill 58, Judiciary, passes by a vote of 19 yeas and no nays. Senator Ruddy.
Mr. President, I move to ask the unanimous consent to vote on the bill, to the vote on the effective date and the changes in the rules of appellate procedure.
Without objection.
CS for Senate Bill number 75, approved by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to construction contractor licensing requirements and providing for an effective date. LNC Committee considered the bill, and Majority Committee recommends due pass. The report was signed by Senator Eliason, Chair, concurring Senators Cockhill and Fakes. House zero fiscal note. Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Jude CS, Senate CS, and due pass. The report was signed by Senator Fakes, Chair, concurring Senators Zemanski, Pierce, Roden, Halford, 2-0 fiscal notes. Rules Committee considered the bill, recommends calendar. Report was signed by Senator Strzelczyk, Chair, concurring Senator Petula, Roden, Eliason, as a Jude Senate CS.
Senator Fakes.
Yes, sir. I would move the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 75. The Judiciary added Section 1. There was a problem during the interim. We heard this bill during the interim. The specialty contractors felt that on a couple of jobs in Anchorage, the RFP was written so absolutely precisely that a specialty contractor couldn't do more than one or two specialties, even if the additional job was only a $5,000 or $10,000 job. And they asked us to look at a broadening of the definition of specialty contractors. Section 1 is the department's attempt to do that. It doesn't totally solve the problem, but it makes it just a little bit better. And I would ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the Judiciary Committee substitute.
Without objection, the Judiciary Committee substitute is adopted.
Senate CS for House Bill number 75, Jude, an act relating to construction contractor licensing requirements and providing for an effective date. I have no amendment.
Senator Brody.
75 be considered engrossed, advance third reading, and place final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 75 is in third reading.
Senate CS for House Bill number 75, Judiciary, and act related to construction contract licensing requirements, effective date.
Is there any discussion? Question being, shall Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 75, Judiciary, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote. So Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for House Bill 75, Judiciary, passes the Senate by a vote of 19 yeas and no nays. Senator Rooney? Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Senator Szymanski.
I'd like to serve notice for reconsideration of my vote on House Bill 75.
Reconsideration is noted.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 146, Finance amended by the Finance Committee, an act limiting civil liability for damages relating to peer review committees, licensing boards, and impaired physician programs, authorizing temporary courtesy licenses for certain occupations relating to powers and duties of state medical boards, requiring persons licensed by the state medical board to make reports relating to the outcome of medical malpractice claims and civil actions, and providing for an effective date. Test committee considered the bill and reports it back as follows. Senator Fisher and Senator Kelly signed a recommendation. Senator Adams signed due pass. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommended calendar report signed by Senator Struzinski, Chair, concurring Senator Petrullo, Rudy, and Eliason. I have an amendment number 1 by Senator Halford, page 11, lines 4 and 5, and it has been distributed.
Senator Halford.
President, I move amendment number 1.
There is objection, Senator Halford.
Thank you, Mr. President. Amendment number 1 deals with new language that was added in the House. It's the section that talks about professional incompetence. And the section says that gross negligence or repeated negligent conduct is one of the conditions for board where the board may sanction a physician. But the added language adds the board may not base a finding of professional incompetence solely on the basis that a licensee's practice is unconventional or experimental. And the House added, in the absence of demonstrable physical harm to the patient. The effect of that addition is that if a person is practicing conventional medicine, they can be sanctioned for a procedure that the board considers to be wrong. However, if they're practicing unconventional or experimental medicine, they can only be sanctioned after you can prove that there's in fact demonstrable physical harm to a patient. That is a standard that number 1 is inconsistent and number 2 is very dangerous to the practice of medicine.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I disagree entirely with what the previous speaker has said, that there is not any advantage here. What is being sought by the language that you have in the amendment before you is that the question of physical harm is deleted so that when someone is disciplined, they can be disciplined regardless of what the actual physical effect of the treatment is, but rather whether the people on the medical board like them or not. This, quite frankly, involves a dispute among doctors. And I think it's important that we look at the physical impact of what the treatment is, because there is difference and there is disagreement among the medical profession themselves. And this provides a demonstrable physical standard, and we ought to keep it in. The whole all language that is underlined was House edition language, and I would urge the amendment to be defeated, Mr. President.
Senator Halford.
I mean, the language really is fairly self-explanatory. The board may not base a finding of incompetence solely on the basis that a licensee's practice is unconventional or experimental. And if they don't do that, it's in the absence of demonstrable physical harm. But the effect is that in the absence of demonstrable physical harm for any other of the list of things listed in the bill, the board can sanction someone.
Further discussion. Senator Curtula.
I ask that the governor's cover letter be read on this. I don't have it in my packet.
Would the Senate Secretary please read the governor's cover letter?
Under the authority of Article 3, Section 18 of the Alaska Constitution, I am transferring the bill that deals with the interview requirements for applicants for medical licensing permits. Present law requires an applicant for a physician or osteopath license be interviewed by a member of the state medical board. These interviews allow the board to inquire into issues that cannot be effectively examined in written tests. They also help the board positively identify licensed applicants. The current law also contains some procedural safeguards that relate to license denials. The bill also establishes a new interview requirement for medical permits that are issued by the board. The requirement does not provide the same procedural safeguards as for licensed applicants. This is because the minimal protection the safeguards would provide to permit applicants do not outweigh the administrative burden of giving written notice and explanation to them. Section 5 of the bill creates a new requirement and says that either a member of the state medical board or its executive secretary may conduct the interview. Sections 3 and 4 say an interview is a prerequisite for an intern or resident permit or for a permit for temporary substitution, that is, for locum tenens practice. Because this law will help to ensure the competency of persons who receive medical licensing permits, I urge your passage. Sincerely, Chief Super Governor.
Senator Rohde?
Let me give an example. This is a confusing topic, and it's a lady that talked to me. She had a rare hereditary disease, Mediterranean familial fever. She was in the hospital with very severe pain is involved. Her doctor requested that she be given vitamin C intravenously. The doctors there refused because they'd never done it before. So she had to go home, whereupon her family doctor then administered it to her. It eased her pain considerably and allowed her to function. There was no harm. It was certainly unconventional. There was no harm, and that doctor could be disciplined for doing that because there is no demonstrable physical harm there. But unless you have that provision in there, you're going to open up the practice of medicine to a great deal of political and personal interpretations that I don't think belong there.
Senator Halford.
I read the last phrase in exactly the opposite way as the prior speaker.
Question being, shall amendment number one be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote until amendment number one fails by a vote of 8 yeas and 11 nays.
I have no further amendments.
Senator Rudy.
Mr. President, I move that consent to House Bill 146 be considered engrossed and passed third reading, place final passage.
Without objection, House Bill 146 is in third reading.
CS for House Bill number 146, finance amended, an act limiting civil liability for damages relating to peer review committees, licensing boards, and impaired physician programs, authorizing temporary courtesy licenses for certain occupations relating to powers and duties of the state medical board, requiring persons licensed by the State Medical Board to make reports relating to outcome of medical malpractice claims and civil actions, and providing for an effective date.
Further discussion?
Question.
Question being, shall committee substitute for House Bill 146, finance amended, pass the Senate? Members may proceed to vote. All members voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Does any senator wish to change their vote? Secretary will record the vote.
One more person.
Secretary will record the vote. So, now that I lost my
cadence.
Committee substitute for House Bill 146, finance amended, passes the Senate by a vote of 15 yeas and 4 nays. Senator Rody.
Mr. President, I move that the absent vote on the bill because of the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Senate will stand at ease. Senator Halford.
Consideration of my vote on committee substitute for House Bill 146.
Notice of reconsideration is given. Madam Secretary.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 244, finance, amended by the Finance Committee, an act relating to the frequency and content of certain state agency reports, relating to the frequency and contents of the reports to the legislature on the Housing Assistance Revolving Fund, eliminating the annual oil and gas reporting analysis requirement, and eliminating the long-term energy plan preparation and revision requirements. State Affairs Committee considered the bill, and majority of the committee recommends to pass. The report was signed by Senator Cho Chair, concurring, Senators Kelly, Fakes, and Adams. Fiscal notes and zero fiscal notes. Finance Committee considered the bill and recommends and reports it back as follows. Senator Ewing, co-chair, signed no recommendation. Senators Duncan, Jarrett, and Frank signed due pass. Rules Committee considered the bill and recommends calendar. The report was signed by Senator Strzelski, chair, concurring. Senators Petula, Elias, and Rody. I have an amendment number one by Senator Fahrenkamp, page 5, line 19, and it has been distributed.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
Thank you, Mr. President. Amendments on everyone's desk, handwritten. Label amendment number one. If you look at page 5, what we're doing in this bill, Mr. President, is changing the annual reports to the legislature to biannual reports. In sections 9, 10, and 11, we have passed the bill unanimously on this floor that is in contradiction to what we have in this section of this bill. So what I'd like to do is change the biannual back to annual. Seemed to me the cleaner way than eliminating sections 9, 10, and 11, and keeping the annual report from the TIC, which is called for in the bill that we passed unanimously here about 3 weeks ago in the reform of TIC. With that, I'd ask unanimous consent.
Without objection, adoption amendment number one is adopted. Are there any other amendments?
I have no.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, move that Senate consent to House Bill 244 be included in gross ban third reading, place of contact.
Without objection, House Bill 244 is in third reading.
Committee substitute for House Bill number 244, Finance Amended Senate, an act relating to the frequency and content of certain state agency report relating to the frequency and contents of the report to the legislature on the Housing Assistance Revolving Fund, eliminating oil and gas reporting and analysis requirement, and eliminating the long-term energy plan preparation and revision requirements.
Senator Curtula.
I think much of this bill is desirable, but I just wonder if we should eliminate provision that provides for an annual oil and gas lease sale schedule. Perhaps we can get it in any event by request and so on, but it's one of those tools that I'm not certain is wise to just get every 2 years.
Senator Fahrenkamp.
And I agree with the former speaker. I don't have enough backup here to know for any reason why we're changing all these annual reports to biannual reports. Maybe it's somebody's way of saving money. There was another one that bothered me a bit, and that's the one where on the oil and gas reports. But maybe somebody knows more about this than I do.
Senator Duncan.
President, I only know what I heard in the Finance Committee from the individual who testified, and the idea behind going to biannual reports is to save money. Seems to me, though, we might want an annual report to find out how much we're saving on a biannual basis.